You're listening to the Product Podcast from Product School, featuring the best product leaders from Silicon Valley and beyond. If you're an aspiring product manager looking for your first PM role, or an experienced PM looking to level up your skills and advance your career, visit productschool.com to learn about our certifications and how we'll get you there. If you want to build products customers love, you need to spend time connecting with their problems. That's where Dovetail can help. Dovetail enables product managers to identify themes, patterns, and insights in their customer interviews, helping them to make better, data-informed decisions about what solutions they should build next. Organizations the world over, like Atlassian, Canva, Nielsen Norman Group, Datadog, GitLab, Sketch, and Deloitte, use Dovetail to build better products. Dovetail is free for as long as you need. Sign up at dovetailapp.com. Today, we want to help you get set up for success. There are many good PM frameworks out there, but realistically, they don't work for every team or every product. That's why our guest, Google PM, Prashant Nair, came up with a template to help you with your thought process. Keep listening to learn the questions you should ask yourself along your journey so that you can stay on track no matter what obstacles come your way.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I hope everyone is safe out there. I'm Prashant Nair. I'm a PM with Google. Prior to Google, I worked for eBay, Sony, and a few other companies. I started my career as a software engineer, did that for several years, and then around 12 years back, moved to product management. Today, I hope to leave you with a practical template for product thinking. Before that, starting out with a disclaimer, content presented here are views and practices of my own and does not represent Google or any of my past employers. With that out of the way, let's talk about PM frameworks. There are several good PM frameworks out there. You would have encountered a few in some good books or online material. These frameworks follows a step-by-step pattern, right? Usually it's understand your users, understand your competitors, build a solution, launch, iterate, etc. Now, all of those are great advice, except when I've seen product managers try to apply those frameworks in a linear fashion. They move from step one to step two and so on and expect to end up with a successful product. But unfortunately, reality is quite a bit messier. It looks something like this. As soon as you start, you realize that there are too many cross dependencies. There are too many different teams in play, too many decision makers, etc. Right? Now, in all of this, the key question is, if this is the snapshot of reality, how do you manage the chaos? For that, I have developed a simple template that can help you cultivate product thinking. This is less of a prescriptive framework and rather a bit loose and open-ended way of thinking through product management, right? The boxes you see on the top are the ones that you're familiar with: users, market, solution, execution. There are some horizontal boxes, which we'll talk about, which are teams, how to measure, constant research, and iteration, right? The key here is to not think of this template as a linear box-by-box solution. But the idea is that we will fill out all of these boxes, baseline the current state, and then with every new change or every new decision, we would recalibrate all of the other boxes as well, right? So we will keep doing this over and over throughout the product lifecycle. With that, let's double click on each of these boxes and try to flesh it out, right? For doing that systematically, we will assume that the product we are attempting to build is a drone delivery service, right? So imagine you're joining a team. They are the experts in drone delivery, and we need to work through this template in that scenario. So the first box here is users. First question to answer, who are the direct users? So in our particular scenario, the direct user would be the consumer who is getting the shipment, but then we also have the merchant who will be shipping, and then there's the logistic providers in between and a few other direct users. Then there are the indirect users, the users who are not participating in your product, but are impacted anyway, right? Think of this as the community, the schools, parks, streets over which the drones would be flying, right? If anywhere to malfunction, those users would be impacted. And then the final question here is, what are these users trying to achieve? They are trying to get a box at their doorstep, right? It is kind of immaterial whether that box was delivered by a human being, a drone flying in the air, or a robot walking the sidewalk, right? The use case here is to get that box to the doorstep. So these are some initial starter questions that will help you form this box. But again, for each of these boxes, I have provided you three questions. But don't stop at that, right? There could be some scenarios where three questions are enough, but there could be other scenarios where you need 30 questions, right? Go through the hard work of answering all of that, add your own question, make it your own, adapt it to your own situation, right? The second box is about the market. So you need to understand how are these use cases being met today, right? So what happens today? I, as a user, go onto a e-commerce website and purchase something, right? And then I wait for 2 to 12 days or even more. And I'm waiting for that shipment to arrive, right? And one day the shipment arrives and I find the box on my doorstep. That is how the use case is being met today. Do we see any gaps there? Of course, right? There's a long waiting period, right? I made a purchase and then I'm waiting till the doorbell rings and the box is there. Right. So anything that can be done to reduce that time frame would be great. The second gap is the price itself, right? Shipping is expensive. And if our technology can do anything to do that, I'll be getting my shipments cheaper, right? So that is and the key thing to solve for. Are those gaps big enough worth solving? Sure, online shipping is a fast growing space, right? And we have billions of boxes right now. In shipment. So that is a large enough problem worth solving. Then comes the solution. So till this point, we are mostly focused on the user, the market, the gaps, what the needs are, etc. Right? We don't anchor on the technology. This is the point where we start introducing our technology and we want to see whether drone delivery are going to solve those use cases that we talked about. We also have to answer whether we can sufficiently monetize the value that we are adding, right? It appears that sure, if we are going to, tackle shipments and reduce the cost, we would be able to at least extract some of that cost for ourselves, right? So that is good. The final question here is, have we uncovered any 10x innovation, right? This is something that we should deeply think about. Vast majority of PM work is finding incremental innovations, which is great, right? And that's how we move things to a better state. But every once in a while, we have to stop and think, are there any 10x opportunity? For us, if shipments arrive in 20 minutes instead of, let's say, a week, how does that fundamentally change the use case, right? What user behaviors are there that would fundamentally change? Those are the kind of questions we would answer in this particular box.
Product managers spend a lot of time talking to customers. Dovetail helps turn those conversations into better product decisions. With a highly accurate transcription engine and a suite of powerful analysis tools, thousands of product managers use Dovetail to make better, data-informed decisions about what solutions they should build next. Organizations the world over, like Atlassian, Canva, Nielsen Norman Group, Datadog, GitLab, Sketch, and Deloitte, use Dovetail to gain a greater understanding of their customers and build better products. Try now for free at dovetailapp.com.
Then comes execution. For all of our projects, we should start thinking of how can we deliver something quickly and cheaply to validate our hypothesis, right? So rather than doing the full build out of the drone hardware system and software system and logistics, etc., can we test it out cheaply, right? Can we buy a couple of drones commercially available today and try to deliver some lightweight boxes? And see whether the user behavior, changes towards how does it change? How can we measure it, etc. Right. So we have to test it out quickly and cheaply. And while we are testing it out, and while engineers are building the solutions, we need to start anticipating any issues, roadblocks. Right. In our case, it would be regulatory environment, safety issues, etc. And how can we keep unblocking those? And finally, we need to ensure that when our product is ready, we can have a smooth landing in the market. That covers all of those top boxes. Then we come to the team, right? We need to answer whether we have the right skills, right? If I have only software engineers and hardware skill is lacking, would we be able to deliver this drone delivery service that we aspire to, right? Those are the kind of things. Are incentives aligned? When there are multiple teams in a bigger organization typically, and there are overlapping areas, are those incentives aligned so that everyone is pulling in the same direction? And finally, we need to know whether we have enough funding and sponsorship to see this project through. Then comes measurement, right? Even before we launch, we need to know that assuming the product is available in the market, what are the metrics that are going to tell us whether we are being successful or not? We need to outline all of those metrics, right? In our case, it is the delivery time, the number of package deliveries, the average distance, cost built in there, etc. There would be some business metrics around revenue. There would be metrics around product itself, around engagement, around task completions. Once you have all those metrics, add in slices, right? You need to know all these numbers by geo, by different cultures, by tropical weather, or in cold places, etc. So have all those metrics and slicing ready. Make sure we have the instrumentation to track it continuously. And finally, when things don't work out, we need to be able to pinpoint things that are going wrong, right? So that's the idea of this box. Now, research is a constant thing, and it should be ongoing by the research team. And the function of this box is to tell us if there are external factors that are going to impact what we are attempting to build. To give you an example, if we are building our drone delivery service and a pandemic hits, right, like the situation we are in, how does that impact us? What are the pieces we need to accelerate, right? We would be able to add value right now in this situation, as opposed to keep building for another year and then having a more fleshed out product coming out much, much later, right? So we have to see how we adapt and things like that. Research is going to constantly tell you that. The market forces shift all the time. Competing companies come up and have competing offers all the time. So those are the things that we constantly need to be tuned into. Then we come to the final box, which is iteration, right? We need to foster a culture of experimentation, which means that we are going to try out 100 things. One of those things are going to work, and then we are going to double down on that one path that is working. But it's important to carefully craft a culture such that when those 99 things fail, right, we celebrate those as well and not penalize people who were responsible for those experimentation. Because if we were to do that, if we think of those things as failures, we then start a culture of that's shy of experimentation, and we would never find those things that actually end up working, right? So we need to have that problem tackled at a cultural level. The other thing, which is on similar lines, is, are we making data-driven decisions, right? When we ideas can come from any quarters, we need to absorb those ideas, validate it, and if data tells you that some ideas are wrong, we should throw those out. And then finally, how fast can we adapt? That takes us through all the boxes here, right? And that all those boxes individually make up this template. But again, the key thing to remember is that we are not going to approach it box by box. Once we have this baselined, any change to one of the box, we are going to recalibrate this entire thing, right? And we are going to see what are the other boxes that got impacted. I have laid out the template here in such a way that you can literally print this out and take it to your decision-making forums. And whenever any change is being discussed, the team as a whole can discuss how are those other boxes going to be impacted and what are we going to do about it. All right, so that makes up this template. Again, as a reminder, I designed this template to be very open-ended. It's not prescriptive. I want each one of you to take this template, apply it to your own situation, and see how it works out, right? And come back to me and tell me what are the things that work, what are the things that didn't work, how can we improve this together, and you know, feed it back to the community and do it in an iterative way. So there you go. So this is the template that I was hoping to leave all of you with. But the most important thing, right, in product management that I've come to realize is to have fun. Because as you see that, as you operationalize this template, you'll be working with many different teams. And if you are the person who are, you know, like the fun element, more teams would be more open to collaborating with you, and your ideas will find a lot more traction, right? So it's very important to you know, have fun while doing all this. With that, I conclude my presentation. If you have any questions or if you want to have a follow-on discussions, get in touch with me on Twitter, and I would be happy to engage with you. But I'm also partnering very closely with Product School on future engagements. So stay tuned. Through Product School, we should be able to have a lot more interaction, and I'm looking forward to that. All right. Thank you so much. Again, everyone, have a great time and be safe in this challenging environment. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Taking the time to write just a few sentences about what you love most about the show will help us improve it and reach even more product people around the world. And when you're done, why not reward yourself with some free product management content and resources over at productschool.com? Until next time, stay product-led.